That was the introduction, and now some of you have already been here longer than you thought the whole service would be, but I'd like to just share with you a few verses from the book of Hebrews before we close. If you have your Bible, it's the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12. The first two verses talk about how this new life that you heard about, this just breaking forth into the lives of these hardened, untrusted, supposedly public servants, but who have now come to Christ down there in Costa Rica. It's the same thing that's breaking out in the lives of these three that testified tonight, and it's what's in our lives. And it's the Christian life that is described in these two verses as running a race. And I just want to challenge you with these two verses before we have our formal closing of our service this evening, because Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 kind of reduces down how you go on from that point of coming to Christ. It's one of the most beautiful descriptions of the Christian life, and the writer of Hebrews compares our Christian lives to running in a Roman stadium, running a lapped race that was a long endurance race. And that's what was in his mind as he wrote these words. And he said this, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." In the first verse, he just captures Rome. The most attended events were the athletic events. They had to keep building larger and larger structures. One of my favorites was built by Domitian, the one that exiled John, who wrote Revelation, out to Patmos. And that huge stadium was packed to capacity. And that's the picture, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. If you were competing, by the way, the Romans called athletic events by the word in Greek, agonizomai. That's where we get agonizing, struggle, and agony from their word for athletics. It wasn't a bunch of professionals with huge egos. It was a bunch of people that were agonizing in front of that huge crowd watching them. And so, and by the way, they didn't get any money for winning. They just got a little laurel wreath that would be fragile and falling apart after a few days. But they're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, and before they would run the race, they would strip off anything. See what it says in verse 1? Every weight and the sin that would ensnare us. And so he takes a picture of this huge crowd, and he says, instead of it being spectators, the cloud of witnesses would be the people of chapter 11. You see, in God's race, the people in the stands, as it were, aren't spectators, they're all witnesses that it's possible. The whole 11th chapter is just a testimonial that it's possible to run the race for Christ and finish and win. And so that's the great cloud of witnesses. Believers are to strip off anything that ensnares us and to run with endurance the race that's set before us. But here's the key, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. And notice the two descriptors. The author, he's the one that initiates salvation. The finisher, he's the one that's able to keep us to the end and to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. The author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See, salvation is based, as you heard in the testimony, as you heard in this report, on the cross of Christ. On the cross where he became sin, who knew no sin, so that we who believe in him could become the righteousness of God. Then the verse ends with this: he despised the shame and has sat down. You know, that's such a testimony to us. It probably doesn't even ring a bell that it says that, sat down. Did you know in the Jewish temple there were no seats? No priest could ever sit down. You were never done. You had to keep offering and offering and offering. And that's kind of a picture of religion. You know, nowadays people are never done. In fact, someone was asking me in the baptism meeting, how do you share the gospel with certain groups that think they're going to heaven and they're so religious? And I say, you don't combat their system. You don't tell them they're wrong. You just ask him, you say, do you know your sins are forgiven? All religions in the world are based on a very similar system to Judaism. You're never quite done enough. The priests could never sit down. They had to offer one more lamb, one more bull, one more sacrifice, pour out some more blood, burn another something, because religion never finishes. But Jesus, when he had finished his work on the cross, it says in verse 2, he sat down. Why? Because it was done. And if you're in Christ, you know your sins are forgiven. And that's what we celebrate tonight. Jesus Christ, who sat down and said, it's finished. And he presented to the Father his sacrifice for sin. And he said, Father, anyone who will believe that on the cross I paid the price for their sins are forgiven. Let's all stand, and as you stand, I'm going to close in prayer, but before I do, I would like to invite you, if you were baptized tonight, to start making your way during the prayer up down the hallway and to the choir room. If you're a baptismal sponsor, the three of you, we need you to join us. All the elders, I would encourage you to start moving that way. And also, if you are a family or friend, relative of someone that was baptized tonight, and you have been invited by them, all you have to do when I'm done praying is go where it says exit or exit, and you just go down that hall, and right behind this blue screen there, there's a first floor huge choir room, and we're going to have about a 15-minute time of just thanking the Lord for these, and it's a very special time if you want to join us. So let's bow for a word of prayer, and all of you that I mentioned, I'll see you in a moment in the choir room. Father in heaven, I thank you for those little sweet wee praisers. Thank you for the joy and delight it is to see them loving you and declaring it with their verses they share and with the songs they sing and with the beautiful smiles that they have. Thank you for these three who unashamedly have said, I want to identify with Christ. He has saved me and I'm going to obey him and I want to be baptized. Thank you for them, and I pray that you would protect them, that you would bless them, that you would cause them to increase and abound as they walk with you. Thank you for the Buffenbargers and the entire Tactica team and for this frontline work that is penetrating this country in a way that would be thought humanly impossible. And we're glad it is, because it's a work that is divine. I pray that you would bless and protect and multiply their ministry. Thank you for sitting down, Lord Jesus, at the right hand of the Father in heaven, because the work of salvation is done. We can't add to it. It will never be added to. It will just be forever gratefully praised to you for saving us. We praise you, we thank you, and we offer our lives back to you tonight to be your servants wherever you take us when we leave here. If we know you, we want to serve you, and we commit ourselves to that end. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you as you go.